It's in one sense, somebody ought to write a book, if they haven't probably already done so, on this very subject, because there are numbers of books mentioned in the Bible that don't seem to be in the Bible. So I think we have to accept, even if you look at the end of John's Gospel, he says, if all the things that Jesus had done were written. Now the idea that this Bible tells you everything that God's ever done, or that there aren't other things to be said, that's clear, but what the Bible is everything you need to know. It is sufficient revelation for all life and godliness. And so I think sometimes what you get references to things that exist, even in the New Testament, I think it's a reference to the book of, not the book of Tobit, is it? There's a reference, in one of the latter epistles, there's a reference to one of the books, like an apocryphal book. In Jude, yes, thank you, in the book of Jude, I can't remember which book it is now, but there's a reference outside the book of Enoch. Now the book of Enoch is not in the Bible, but it's mentioned just in the same way. Is there are many books in this world that you can refer to and talk about. That doesn't necessarily mean they're part of scripture just because they're written. So I think you have books in there, and maybe those things are faithful records of, but the point is, in the providence of God, the way that the Lord has maintained and kept Scripture and delivered it safely to you, you have those bits are not necessary. And it may be that some of those references are references back to bodies of texts within the Bible itself. And you'd have to judge on a case-by-case basis as you go through whether that reference is a reference back into the Bible or it's a reference to something beyond the boundaries of the Bible. But I totally appreciate that you do come across these things, and it does beg the question. It's quite interesting. I'm sure there is a book out there. I'm sure there is a book out there. On books, by the way, on our website, one of the books I nominated up there is a book called Israel and the Nations by F.F. Bruce, who I'm told was one of the most inspiring preachers you'll ever meet, but one of the best authors. He is really a fantastic author, and his book is a brilliant chronicle of God's dealings with Israel set in historical context. Very nicely set out, very easy to read. So if you're interested, that's a good book to get. What's that? Of the making of books, there is no... Yes, that's right. I mean, making books and making chronicles and making records. I mean, clearly, in the kingdom under Solomon, there was a massive bureaucracy. And writing records and keeping a written record was obviously a very important process. As we saw, going back to Nineveh for a second, one of the things they found in Nineveh was this vast library with all its little cuneiform tablets. Do you remember the cuneiform tablets we looked at? You saw some at the British Library the other day. Did you enjoy your visit to the British Library, Jude? Good. It's wonderful to see these things. It is wonderful to see these things, many of which we owe to Layard himself. Yep. Between Genesis and Exodus, 400-year gap. Yep. Genesis. Yes. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? You've got a 400-year gap between the end of the Old Testament prophets and the beginning of the New Testament. You've got a 400-year gap. That's quite, it's the only two gaps in the whole of that chronology. It's two 400-year gaps. It's quite extraordinary, really, isn't it? But what you're saying is, I mean, there is a theory, and I think it's called the Toledoth theory, right, about the book of Genesis. Because there's a huge number of genealogies in the book of Genesis. And the Hebrew phrase that begins and these are the generations of, you know, it goes again and again. That phrase is Toledoth in Hebrew, right? And it could be, although it's not something we can demonstrably prove, is that these Toledoth was a series of tablets on which there were like family genealogies were written. So we found such things in the Nineveh archives. The Assyrians kept such things where they kept a record of the king and what his father's name and da-da-da going back so and so forth. these were very simple things that you could carry around, little clay tablets like this. It may have been that the Israelites kept something similar like that, so they kept genealogical records that I am the descendant of Adam, and so on, it went right back and so on. And that those records could have been the basis from which the Genesis account, at least in some part, was assembled, along with the oral tradition that in the wilderness, as they're meeting together and the Israel is coming free, there is an opportunity. Now, you wonder about oral tradition. Does that mean it's not reliable? Well, the gospel existed in oral preaching and tradition before it was inscripturated. That doesn't mean it's not reliable. That means that you had it authoritatively preached before it is authoritatively written, and I see no reason why Genesis could not have been authoritatively preached before it is authoritatively written. Yeah? It is the word of God, isn't it? God said, and it is written. Yeah. And the prophets, often they preach, and then it gets made, record of it is made, isn't it? And that's not an uncommon pattern. So, yeah. Chris, maybe you did, and maybe there's other here who had this experience when you got saved and you read the Bible and you thought, there was something about it, I felt like I've read it before almost. The only way I can attribute it is just that the author of Scripture had come and made his own habitation. In some sense, the Spirit bears witness to the Word. You know, he's the one who's been there all the way along with all these people, moving all these people's hearts, urging them to write, helping them to write. And that same Spirit is in us. Yeah. And I think on this, you know, that's another whole subject, isn't it? Because there's a lot of sensitivity about because prophecy, as it equates to this, having the same authority as Scripture, there can be all sorts of complexities around that idea, because then you can start getting people saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and yet hath the Lord said, and I've got it written, so it better stack up. And that's why we're told to weigh all prophecy and not just to make an assumption. So it does seem to be a difference between, but then every single thing Jesus ever said and did was inspired, but it's not all recorded. So something can be inspired without it being recorded, but you can say something. So I suppose there is room for saying something that is genuinely God's mind on a matter without it having the same weight as Scripture. Do you see what I mean? As therefore having to be referred to other people. And I get nervous when people give a prophecy at church and then that gets written up and becomes almost like this. They refer to that as the vision for the church with equal authority than the very word of God, which is given to the church. And that's how the Catholic Church ended up in the trouble it's in. You know, its traditions and its prophecies and its proclamations have ended up having equal or superior status to the word of God itself. That's a disaster. That's the end of you being submitted to God in the end, you know. So that's the deconstruction of the church. All right. One last question, or can I go home now? All right. Good. Thank you very much for your questions as well. It makes it much more helpful and encouraging to me. So, and do have a word with Jean, because she's just been up to the British Museum. I'm sure she'll tell you about the treasures she's seen. Who'd like, perhaps one or two, could just close for us in prayer, and we'll have a cup of coffee if you want, or go home.